SP. Welcome to second day of Lent. Yesterday, Jackie read the scriptures and the message on Matthew 1. So today we'll be turning to Matthew 2. My name is Ian. Let me lead us in a word of prayer before we start the scripture reading. Father God, we thank you that you have opened this sanctuary to us, Lord, in the midst of what's happening in Hong Kong, that we can come here for comfort, for shelter. We can come here knowing that you are sovereign. We can come here knowing you, that you watch over us and you care for us, God. And Lord, I pray that today, as we read the scriptures, Lord, I pray that your word will really cut through our hearts. I pray that your word will really enter our spirits, God. I pray your Holy Spirit will also just communicate with us, whether through the scripture or the message, Lord. I just pray that you give us individually and corporately your message that you want us to hear, Lord, and your will for the body and for us individually as well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. So if you turn to Matthew 2, I'll be reading from the devotional. You can read from your own message Bible or your own version if you'd like. So Matthew 1, which was read yesterday, that was about kind of the conception of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. It flows on into Matthew 2, obviously. But just to recap a bit of Matthew 1 for background, that was when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, and he was struggling to decide what to do with the fact that Mary was pregnant, not knowing that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we see that God had guided Joseph through a message from the angel to say, to assure him and to comfort him that this was indeed a miraculous conception. So in Matthew 2, what we see is a continuation of how God is sovereign and how God is also taking care and making sure he's giving instructions, he's guiding the whole kind of process through, despite of the circumstances that are happening around this time of Jesus' birth. So in chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, When he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, who was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And when he went and lived in a city, called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. If you turn to your app, let's also read the devotion in the app. And if you haven't got it, I'll just read it out. So this is a devotion on what we've just read, on Matthew 2. The well-known story of the Magi reminds us of the true worship of God's King. It contrasts the false worship of King Herod, so that I too may go and worship him, with the true worship of the Magi, who sought out the infant Christ and poured out their treasures before him. Its positioning in Matthew's Gospel is also significant. Here at the start of the Gospel, the nations represented by the Magi came to worship Jesus. Now, at the end of the Gospel, King Jesus will send his followers out into the nations to make disciples for him. Praise God that the nations have come to worship. Why not spend some time worshiping the true King right now? We turn to the second scripture reading in Ephesians 1. So Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 8. I'll also read it out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So, just my own reflection, as I was, as from day one and to now, it really brought to mind for me the sovereignty of God. Knowing that from the beginning of Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, and when God had already prepared clothing made from animal skin to symbolize that he had a plan of redemption through Jesus, through sacrifice. Through kind of the conception of Jesus and the fact that Joseph, if he chose to, he could have left Mary, abandoned her, and perhaps even put infant Jesus' life at danger. To what we read in Matthew 2, about how God not only spoke to Joseph, but he continued to guide them, you know, with angel visitations, so clearly telling them instructionally where to go, when to leave, when to return. I mean, that's God's sovereignty. And even for the Magi to see the star, for God to tell them, this is where the Lord is, Now, obviously, today, I don't think many of us have the same experiences. I'm not sure if many of us have had angel visitations. I don't think many of us hear directly from God in the same way. But we also know that the God in the Bible, as we read him now, is exactly the same God as he is today. Why does he not speak to us in the same way? Well, perhaps he does speak to some of us in that way. But it does show us and it does give us hope that he's the same God. He's the same sovereign God. You know, despite the circumstances during those times, despite the choices that people made, he was a God who also had his own plan. And his plan would not be foiled. Whatever happened, whatever king or ruler there was, no matter how wicked they were, God's plan could not be foiled. But he also depended on human agents. He depended on human agents, and he gave human agents free will. He gave us all free will. He gave Adam and Eve free will. He gave them rules. He gave Joseph free will. He gave Mary free will. He waited for their response. He gave Herod, King Herod, free will as well. And he let him respond. And the way King Herod responded contrasted with the way the Magi responded, contrasted with the way Joseph and Mary responded. You would think, some people would say, well, where is God in all that? Looking back, can we only see God's sovereignty in all this? Despite the free will he gives us, his plan would not be foiled. And why is that important? I felt this is important because it gives us hope. The sovereignty of God not only shows us the love of God, the sovereignty of God gives us hope. That hope is what we've read is in Jesus Christ. That hope is in the birth of Jesus, who we celebrate today, who we reflect on in the entire Lent period. But it's easy for our own human responses to forget that. As we listen to the message, as we read the scriptures, it's good to remind ourselves of that. But how we live can be very different, as we've heard from PSAM. I also worry. I also have fear. And a lot of times I want to control my own events. Just as Joseph might have chosen to control the events that unfolded before him, he ultimately was a righteous man. And I think that what PSAM preached on Sunday was very true, that we come in a time when we have an opportunity as human agents with free will to unite and align ourselves with the will of God. We can't control our circumstances. We can't control what happens with the virus. We can't even control the government. And what has plagued Hong Kong in these months have been things beyond our control. But our response could be controlled. You may not be the ones in the protest. You may not be the ones running to the supermarkets to buy toilet roll. But I think we should all admit we all had fear at one point in time. And that we should ask, what is God's will? Just as PSAM asked, what is God's will? I think it's obvious. God's will is that we trust in his sovereignty. We hang on to his sovereignty. I would even go dare to say his will is even for us to bless the government, to bless our fellow people, whether it's handing out face masks in the streets, whether it's to refrain from hoarding. His will is that we don't trust in our own ways, in our own understanding, that we believe that his ways are higher, that he is God. The topic of today's message was actually true worship. It really reminds me and brings me back to that story of the Samaritan woman in John 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. When we worship in spirit and truth because we have the Holy Spirit to lead us into that truth. We have the Holy Spirit to point us to Jesus. Just as the star and the angels pointed the Magi to the birth of Jesus, we now have that gift of the Holy Spirit in us to point us to the true God. Pointing us to the true God allows us to worship who is true. We worship not in falseness like King Herod, but we worship in truth. Back to our application in Hong Kong. If I would just borrow again the sermon on Sunday, if we remind ourselves about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, remember what they said? They said, but even if he does not, we want you to know, and this was addressed to the king then, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold. The key words, but even if he does not, because that's where our fear comes in. We fear in the back of our minds, but what if this doesn't happen? Because we've all seen terrible things happen to good and to bad, Christians and non-Christians. But this is the faith that we see in Daniel 3. But even if he does not, even in Job 13, 15, God may kill me, but still I will trust him and offer my defense. Even if he slays me, I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. I think sometimes it's very difficult and it's a balance. We must trust in the sovereignty of God, and yet we have to acknowledge that we have fear. And that is fine. It is fine to have fear. And then my encouragement is the fact that even if something bad should happen, I can still say with certainty for those people who've gone before us that I can say to God, even if not, even if you do not answer my prayers, our prayers in the form that we want to, we will still trust you because we know that you're sovereign and we have hope in you. Again, to borrow the example of the story of Hudson Taylor. Remember, if you went to Sunday service, he put up the sails. He was praying for wind, right? And, you know, I read many versions of it. Some versions say that even before he went down to the cabin to pray, he actually decided that he would act in faith. He would tell one of the sailors to put up the sails because the wind is coming, because he had to trust God. In fact, one of the versions I've read says that Hudson couldn't bring himself to pray because he felt that God must surely answer. God must surely deliver. And I think today, you know, as I'm inviting Ernie to come up to lead us in worship, I think we should put up our spiritual sails. I think we should worship in spirit and in truth. I just want you to picture your spiritual sail being put up. In this time, when we can't see an end, when schools have been extended, I want us to put up our spiritual sails. When we worship in advance of what God will do, of what God will deliver us from. It may not be in the form that we want to, may not be in the times that we pray for, but we worship on the sovereignty and the hope of God. And we worship in the same way as Hudson Taylor worshipped, because we know that God is sovereign and we know that God will deliver us. So let us sing let us sing his praise.
In the quiet. In the stillness I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence I know there I am restored. When you call, I won't refuse. It's a new day again I choose. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified, who set me free. I live to bring him praise. In the chaos, in confusion, I know you're sovereign still. In the moment of my weakness, you give me grace to do your will. So when you call, I won't delay. Oh, this is my song to all my day. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified, who set me free. Now I live to bring him praise. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified, who set me free. Now I live to bring him praise. Oh, my delight is in you, Lord. All of my hope, all of my strength. Oh, my delight is in you, Lord. Forevermore. Oh, my delight is in you, Lord. All of my hope, all of my strength, all my delight is in you, Lord. Forevermore. Oh, my delight is in you, Lord. All my hope, all of my strength. Oh, my delight is in you, Lord. Forevermore. There is no one else for me. None but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring Him praise. There is no one else for me. None but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring Him praise. Live to bring Him praise.
Let's turn to our prayer, the one prayer in your app. Father, we pray for church leaders, pastors, elders, and deacons. Lord, give them your direction and the courage to be faithful to their calling. Especially, we ask that you would give our leaders your heart for our city. Bless them with wisdom to govern diligently. In Jesus' name, empower our leaders, especially during difficult times for our city. We especially pray for our leaders who feel discouraged. Help us to be the church that lifts up and supports our leaders. Amen. Let's turn also to our community prayer and also lift up members of our church suffering from cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's lift them up. Let's also pray for those of us suffering from illnesses and who also need to hear the word of salvation. Also pray for the infirmities that we and our family members suffer from. We just pray for all these, big or small, to be healed in the name of Jesus. Let us also remember those of us who are seeking jobs in this difficult time. We pray that God will open doors. Let's also turn to our mission focus. Pray for PSAM Kim in Singapore. He's Salamat as he leads Spin. Ernie as he leads Spill for the Philippines. Pray for Ruth, Jess and Kelly as well for SP New York. We just pray for all these missions, Lord, to be blessed with your power and your prophetic word to the congregation overseas. Also turn to our children's ministry, the youth, SP Kids, led by P. Mary and Lisa, SP Youth, led by Donald, and SP University, SPU, by P. Andrew. We'll just cover our leaders, cover them in prayer and protection. Cover them and anoint them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Let's also pray for our intercessory team led by Matt. Pray for the healing led by the well and river by Rachel. We also just pray for their healing and their continued rest and restoration in you, God. That way they may minister in the overflow that you give them. Let's extend our blessings to those outside in the evening outreach for HOMI, which is suspended. We just pray that that can resume and that we can minister to those outside and can keep lifting up the poor in Hong Kong and those in need. We also pray for the house churches happening tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Just pray for our leaders, just to encourage and to guide the congregation. And also Hong Kong. Let us pray for our land. Let us pray for our home. Let us pray for the people in Hong Kong. Let us pray even for our enemies. Let us pray for mercy from the Lord and forgiveness. Let us repent on behalf of Hong Kong and the materialism, the greed that has gripped this land. Let us pray that this is also a chance and an opportunity for the gospel, the true gospel, to be spread into Hong Kong even faster and even more powerfully than this virus situation that we face. Father, as we close in prayer, Lord, we just lift up our hands, we lift up our sails. We declare that you are sovereign, we declare you are good, even in the midst of what we face. We can rejoice, we can sing with joy, we can come together with our brothers and sisters in joy. We can live normally because we know that you live, Jesus, and our hope is in you. Lord, we love you. pray all this in Jesus' name. So bless you. I pray that you will have a really good time spending yourself in the Lord the rest of this prayer.